Radio.
The Proclaim 2014 podcasts. Recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.
This talk is Talking About God and Sharing the Mystery by Amanda Smith from the Diocese of Ballarat.
We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And welcome to this workshop session, Talking About God and Sharing the Mystery. And it is part of the conference workshop strand particularly associated with kerygma, which is the Greek word for proclamation. So proclamation, kerygma, is one of the core tasks of the Church and its members, us. In this workshop, we'll be looking at how we proclaim in particular, as you've heard, how we talk about God, using as a focal point the concept of God as mystery. I will also mention that all of us presenting have been particularly asked to have a significant part of the workshop as hands-on. So that's why I've given out a little piece of paper for a bit later on. In his first letter, St. Peter sums up our focus today very well with this advice: reverence the Lord Christ in your hearts, and always have your answer ready for people who ask you the reason for the hope that you all have. Might also mention that I'm going to give another handout at the end with these quotes on, so you don't need to do a lot of writing. So just maybe, yeah. So that's a wonderful quote. 30 or so years ago, can everyone down the back hear me okay? Because if you can't, just wave your hands a little bit. 30 or so years ago, Karl Rahner wrote about words, and he said there were two sorts of nouns, the ones that define a precise single object. And the examples he gave in this article he wrote were hydrogen, cockroach, and house. Many people these days, we might call them the rationalists, prefer to only work with or acknowledge the concrete things that are part of this first group of nouns. Rahner's second group of words are very different. They are not clear or precise, although, and I quote him here, they cannot therefore be denied meaning or validity. They are words which start from a definite point of human experience. If the radical nature of their meaning is recognised, they are seen to hold the key to the whole of human existence and the reality of life. Rahner goes on to ask the question, is it possible to be human and live a human life if words like freedom, love, loyalty, joy, responsibility, fear, and so on are to be avoided? So as preparation for our workshop, I'm going to ask you to take a moment of reflection on the question, why is God important to me? Now, we have passed around little, pretty much empty pieces of paper because I'm going to ask you to write, but so we're going to take a little time of, it will in fact be so, I'll get that, I'll get you to write one thing down there, yeah, thank you. A little time of quiet. I'm going to ask you to think about that question, why is God important to me? Use the empty sheet that we're handing out, but it's a personal reflection. It's good to write it down because it helps sort our thoughts out, but I'm not going to, with this one, ask you to share. I'm not asking you to hand in. So this is just to, the exercise of writing, forming the words, is going to be for you alone. So let's just take a little bit of time to think about that question. Why is God important to me? Please feel free to keep writing while I talk if you like. Sorry to interrupt you if you're in the middle of a... but I will just continue picking up really on some of the things that have been talked about already today, and I'm sure you've also heard the statistics. These are the Australian statistics now. 12% or around 1 in 10, or Catholics attend Mass on a regular basis. We're not talking weekday Mass here, we're talking on the weekends. So that's 1 out of 10. So 9 out of 10 people who don't go to Mass regularly have identified themselves as Catholics in the optional religion question in the 2011 Australian Census. Now, some of these 9 out of 10, or even many of these Catholics, are connected with parishes, either through their school community or in a more occasional way, through the celebration of the sacraments or participating in the great feasts of the Nativity and the Easter Triduum. Others, sadly, may only join with the church community when they attend the funeral of a friend or a loved one. A good number are not connected with church or parish at all. Yet, they answered the optional religion question. Optional, you didn't have to. In the census, they tick the box to say they are Catholic. In 2009, the Christian Research Association surveyed Australian adults and they indicated about 50% say they believe in God, but more recent and I think less formal polls put the figure higher, closer to, well, some polls 60 plus, some 70. And these are, you know, because they're less formal polls, people may be more inclined to actually say what they feel. So drawing from this research, but also I think certainly from my observations, and this may resonate with you, it seems that many people believe in God in some way. However, they don't seem to do much to explore or express that belief, whether through worship or other community activity. So I ask, is it that God is not really important to them? Or maybe they just don't know how to start, how to connect? Sociology studies indicate in this country and other first world countries there is a culture of negativity about God, fueled by media, popular prejudice or misconception. So there's also a strong culture of rationalism whereby only what can be physically observed or scientifically proven is acceptable. You add to this other elements of our contemporary culture, the focus on self, the focus on choice and change, and with commitment being far less valued than in earlier generations. So all these things are actually pressures on people. Even if they feel, I'd like to talk about God, there is a great societal pressure not to. Pope Francis spoke about all of this in his wonderful exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, and the Pope said, we can't overlook the fact that in recent decades there's been a breakdown in the way Catholics pass down the Christian faith to the young. It is undeniable that many people feel disillusioned and no longer identify with the Catholic tradition. The causes for this breakdown include, and I'm still quoting from The Joy of the Gospel, and I'll just run through these quickly because you can look them up, and I'm heading towards the last one. Lack of opportunity for dialogue in families. Can you see?
No.
Oh, I'm standing right in front of it. That's helpful. Sorry. I haven't got a clicker. No, that's all right. I'll just try and be a little less standing in front. Okay, so the Pope is continuing. So did you see the previous screen?
Yeah.
Okay. The causes of the breakdown include the lack of opportunity, the influence of the communications media, a relativistic subjectivism. Thank you. A relativistic subjectivism. Now, that needs a reflection later on. We won't stop with that one. Unbridled consumerism, which feeds the market. And the Pope continues with his list of things that are contributing to people feeling disillusioned and disconnected. Lack of pastoral care among the poor, the failure of our institutions to be welcoming, and our difficulty in restoring a mystical adherence to the faith in a pluralistic religious landscape. That's a lot to think about, but we're going to move forward, because what we are looking forward for in this workshop is positive things to fuel us as people who are called to go out and proclaim. So all of those things, those negative things that the Pope drew out, and of course in his exhortation he continues to talk most beautifully and positively about the faith. So these things don't stop people reflecting on and searching for a greater or deeper meaning in life. Or indeed some are searching for the start of meaning in their existence. Now Karl Rahner has already been mentioned. He was a theologian, a significant contributor to most of the documents of the Second Vatican Council. He died in 1984. And he wrote, as we reflect on how limited our understanding of the meaning of life is, we paradoxically experience a desire for and the intuition of greater meaning. So what I'm suggesting, building on what Rahner writes, is that many people have a yearning for a connection with God or for some understanding of God, but they don't know where to begin. They may have a personal spirituality. Many people say they find God in nature or in a serene piece of music, in their children's smiles, lighting a candle, sitting still. But they feel there might be something more than this personal spirituality. Pope Francis asks us to be an evangelizing community, to reach out to those who are seeking this connection with God. And the Pope says, an evangelizing community knows that the Lord has taken the initiative. He has loved us first, and therefore we can move forward and boldly take the initiative, go out to others, seek those who have fallen away, stand at the crossroads, and welcome the outcast. So, how can we each be part of an evangelizing community? How do we be people who go out to others? And when we do go out to others, how do we talk about God? So I'm just going to put up here a couple of, I think you'll know them, well-known quotes from very early in our faith tradition, poets and prophets who have spoken about God, just to start our conversation about how we talk about God. Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." Another one that I think you'll know, I think it was in our lectionary 2 weeks ago. And that wonderful image that Elijah found God in the sound of sheer silence. It's a lovely reading, well worth reflecting on. And another one, again, very familiar, I'm sure, where God said to Moses when God was asked, "What is your name?" And God said, "I am who I am." And this is variously translated from the Hebrew, and I am aware that there may be people in the room who are studying Hebrew, but I am who I am. I am who I am. I am who is. They're probably not the total of the various translations from the Hebrew, but each translation is a challenge for us to actually think, what is this on about? But as we reflect on it, again, I'm sure you know. But the catechism, we can get deeper into it as we reflect. And the catechism says, this divine name is mysterious, just as God is mystery. It is at once a name revealed and something like the refusal of a name. And hence it better expresses God as God is, infinitely above everything we can understand, and also the God who is close to us. Let's consider another question. And this time I'm not going to ask you to write things down, I'm going to ask you to discuss in pairs. So if you could, in a moment, pair up with someone, it doesn't have to be someone you know, just someone you can talk to. I will, if you don't mind, ask that you take turns rather than a line here, a line there. Maybe just take deliberate turns, because the question I'm going to ask you to take a moment to think about first, and then find a partner and take turns to tell the other person, how do I describe God? Well, I'm going to have a couple of minutes, and
is that to others or to yourself? How do you describe God?
I'm heading towards talking to others, right. And in this exercise, this little workshop piece, you're actually going to be telling somebody else. Right. So, I mean, I could have put a couple of questions up there to tease it out. It's how do I think about, so how do I describe God, even how do I experience God. But what I'm wanting you to do is not just know that in yourself, but actually find some words for it and tell someone else. So I've used the word describe because it's a sort of a words word, if that makes sense. I'm asking you to say, okay, so when I think about God, what comes into my mind is, that might be one way of starting your what you're going to say to the other person. So give it a go. This is just practicing, okay? I'm sorry to interrupt what look like very and sound like little glimpses I can hear, sound like very fruitful conversations, but over these 3 days... And over these 3 days, you will have opportunities to continue these conversations, but I will continue with presenting a few more ideas, and there'll be a little time for some questions and feedback at the end. So what I'm going to do is offer a few more quotes, and in fact, these people should have been twittering, except that it was in the first and second century, so they didn't have the opportunity, but they left us very... memorable, and again, these are in the quote sheet that I will give you. So that word ineffable, unable to be expressed or to be comprehended. No one can utter a name. It's a great good to comprehend that God is incomprehensible. Helpful? Again, the incomprehensible words. Father of the Church. Incapable of being measured. I like that one. Everyone can see the screen. St. Gregory of Nyssa, a wonderful mystic in his own right, says it's the seeing that consists in not seeing. Again, it's picking up on the I am who am type sort of paradoxical. St. Augustine always had a word to say. God the highest who is known better than knowing. You can think about that quote for ages. Then this one, we move into familiar territory. We say it frequently, but I've just taken the first couple of lines. Maker of all that is, seen and unseen. This is one of the really famous things that has been said about God, and which gets a bit tangled up in being grammatically correct. God is than that than which nothing greater can be thought. So anything great we think of, God will be greater, but when we get to God, there will be nothing greater. Beautiful. Had to put this one in. Again, it's got those, they're not paradoxes, but just that very, that deep understanding of God in that one sentence that you can reflect on endlessly. And in fact, Gaudium et Spes, the Church in the Modern World document from Vatican II, says, when we are drawn to think about our real selves, we turn to those deep recesses of our being where God, who probes the heart, awaits us, and where we ourselves decide our own destiny in the sight of God. Now, this is a very popular quote. It's been picked up in online blogs. I mean, I strike it everywhere. People use it, it turns up in homilies. Yet, when you see it just written like that, you think, well, what are they saying? Are they asking us all to go off and follow a St. John of the Cross style of contemplation, or what's going on here? And when you look at the full quote from Rana continues, and what he talks about is, by mysticism, we mean a genuine experience of God. emerging from the very heart of our existence. The truth and importance of the statement will become still clearer in the spirituality of the future. So what Rana is suggesting in quite a few of his writings, he wrote on many strands, but this whole strand of his writing where he's talking about we need to look deep in ourselves to find God, and then we need to share that out with the world. And then Rana goes on to say, God is both the giver and the gift. When God communicates with us, we are changed. So Rana puts forward the idea that we have a predisposition towards God, innate within us. Now, this is not a new idea. The evangelists who wrote the Gospels allude to it. Some of the early mystical writers allude to it. But Rana is actually then draws on more contemporary philosophy and puts it all together and says we have this yearning, this predisposition towards God. And he also says God reaches out to us with this free gift of grace, this always available to us, gift of grace, enabling us to connect with or experience God. So looking back 2,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago, what people were talking about was God as totally incomprehensible, whereas what's happening now over this last, in the 20 or so years running up to Vatican II, and then since then, this idea that we can connect with God. People have always known this, but it's being talked about, and I find it very helpful. So just a couple more quotes from Karl Rana, who asks, what do we mean when we speak of God's self-communication? We mean that God becomes... We mean that God becomes immediate to us. We know God through our own experience, through our own knowledge of ourselves. That's what you were exploring earlier. How do we know God? What are the various things that give us that feeling? Yeah, this is what God's about. We know ourselves as the recipients and beneficiaries of God's call and as persons who desire to respond to it. So Rana's theology is that we can transcend ourselves. We can lift ourselves up. We can go beyond our everyday limits. We can experience something not realizable in everyday experience. God calls human beings to imagine those possibilities for the good that would realize their potential. In doing so, God enables them to transcend themselves. The capacity for such reflection is constitutive or part of being human. By reflecting on our limits, we begin to imagine new possibilities for ourselves and so transcend our limits. And this really is a way of talking about the journey of faith, the journey of growing closer to God ourselves, but also the journey of responding to God's call. And I think, just a little one here, the person who is open to this transcendence experiences mystery, not just as something far off the distant horizon, but as something close, and particularly as forgiveness and intimacy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church picks up on this idea. For humans to be able to enter into real intimacy with God, God willed both to reveal God's self to us and to give us the grace of being able to welcome his revelation in faith. So it's that two-way. It's the us opening ourselves out towards God and God, of course, pouring grace towards us, which we as open ourselves to receive. We welcome. So that's a really brief summary of some of the things that I find helpful in thinking about this idea of the mystery of God and focusing on God in particular. We've obviously got a very, very wide range of other points of connection in our faith. But thinking about God, because as I was saying earlier on, God is the word that people know. God is the word that the media are talking about. You know, we've heard it all. God is dead. How on earth can you believe in God? All of those sorts of things. God is, for many people, a starting point. They may have that tiny little spark inside themselves that makes them think there is something more. But as I said earlier, how do they begin? So now we're going to move on to our last little workshop exercise. So I'm going to get you to practice talking. And this is sort of like a role play. Has anyone done role plays where you sort of, you know, what I would like to do is again in pairs, but maybe ideally not someone that you spoke to last time. But what I'm going to do, and you'll do it twice, do this little exercise twice, so you'll reverse the roles. So you spend half the time being the questioner, or we might call that person the seeker. And so if you're in that role, you imagine yourself as someone else. So if you're the questioner, maybe you're someone who wants to know more about God. Now, we're not looking for Academy Award-winning Oscar performances here. We're just looking for you to imagine yourself in the situation. You've maybe come along to a church for the first time and met someone, you know, in the foyer, or maybe you just have seen someone in the supermarket or socially, you know they're connected with the Catholic Church and you think, you want to know more about God, so you think, here's my opportunity. Tell me, what is it? I don't get it, you might say. Tell me about, what is it you believe? Tell me about God. So that's the sort of questions I'm going to suggest that you ask. And then the other half of you, the second person, answers. And the idea of this exercise is that the second person is answering, gets the opportunity to do most of the talking. And the other person just prompts them along by asking questions, by the sort of questions that if you don't know about God, you might say, but I don't understand that word, or what I mean, tell me a bit more about that bit, or just something to keep the conversation going. Now, does that make sense? And then I'll give you a bit of a time call and you reverse roles. So each of you in your group of two will get an opportunity to practice talking about God to someone who is pretending not to know anything about God, but is interested. Okay? So we'll have a good few minutes for each half, okay? I'm returning to Pope Francis once again, and I'm sure it's just a wonderful, the joy of the gospel, wonderful to have and dip into and find the different wonderful points that the Pope draws out. He says, let us believe the gospel when it tells us that the kingdom of God is already present in this world and is growing here and there and in different ways, like a small seed which grows into a great tree. And he continues, because we do not always see these seeds growing, we need an interior certainty, conviction that God is able to act in every situation, even amid apparent setbacks. And he quotes, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And then he goes on to say, this certainty is often called a sense of mystery. The Pope, of course, also reminds us, mystical notions without solid social and missionary outreach are of no help to evangelization. Nor are dissertations or social or pastoral practices which lack a spirituality which can change hearts. So it, with everything, it's we need all of the richnesses of our faith to support ourselves as we go out to be evangelizers. If I can summarize this session, I'd like to offer the idea that it is your own experience that enables you to be evangelizers. Each of us as something that we know and therefore can offer. And what we try to do in our little workshops is to give you a sense that, yes, you can talk about God. So as we respond to the call to evangelize, we draw on our own experience of faith and of being a faith community. We draw on our own experience of God. We share our faith as witnesses. I'm actually going to finish with a prayer. So just take a moment. I'm going to pray to you the words that St. Paul prayed to the Colossians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, for we have heard of your faith and of the love that you have for all the people because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. For this reason, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. Grace be with you. And let's finish together with the prayer of praise, the glory be.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Proclaim 2014 podcasts, recorded by Cradio and XT3.com.